Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon and welcome to hashtag My Investing Story. Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. And I am the master builder helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And as a volunteer with the National Association of Investment Clubs, better known as Better Investing, it is an honor every single week to come on with my co-host, Ione McNeil, who's also a volunteer, and actually she's actually our South Florida chapter president. But it's an honor to come and share another hashtag My Investing Story with individuals who have been investing for a very long time or just started investing. But just a little bit about Better Investing. Better Investing is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, nonprofit organization that has helped over 5 million people from all walks of life learn how to improve their financial future. I should say learn how to improve our financial future because I'm one of those people along with so many, many, many others. And we as volunteers in the organization provide unbiased investment education and powerful, yes, powerful online stock analysis tools to create successful long-term investors. And a couple of us were talking before the program started. We were just remembering the fact that we used to do this by hand. Yes. Paper and pencil, but we'll hear about that a little bit later. I'd like to just introduce to you our special guest tonight. And our special guest, their investment club is entitled Faith Investors Club. And it is a limited partnership and a member of NAIC, now Better Investing. The club meets monthly to discuss various companies, which is stocks, and they determine if the club should invest, buy, or sell. They view the investment as a part of stewardship. I love that. As a way to make the best of resources that have been entrusted to them. They adopted the NAIC philosophy of investing regularly over a long period of time in well-managed companies through dollar cost averaging. And they first invested in McDonald's at the time. And I just want to just take a moment and just share that this is going to be a phenomenal interview of an investment club that has been around for a long time. And I want to encourage and challenge each of you that's listening, please comment, like, and share the show. Can I say that again? Please comment, like, and share the show. Because what's happening tonight is you're going to hear stories and examples of what you can do. But as you think about inviting your family and friends, you might want to consider starting a family investment club or a club in your church. So with those words being said, let me introduce to you my co-pilot of I don't know if it's a 747, a Learjet. What do you call it, Ione?
I don't know. Live television.
Well, let me introduce my boss to all of you, and that's none other than the baby billionaire, Ione McNeil. Good evening, Ione.
Good evening, and thank you. I'm so excited to have the Faith Investment Club on. Right now we have Daryl Lewis, Chris Jones, and Marvin. Marvin, what's your last name?
Thatcher.
Okay, Marvin Thatcher. So we have these wonderful men of the Faith Investment Club, and I'm going to ask actually Mr. Daryl Lewis to start. Just could you tell us when the Faith Investment Club started, what year, if you know the month, and tell us a little bit about how the club started.
Well, I want to say good evening. Thank you, Ms. Ione McNeil, Ms. Ann McNeil, for this opportunity for us to come to you. To answer your question, We actually just celebrated our 25th anniversary, and we celebrated it with Better Investment this week, this summer. Our club started, and I'm going to say that Chris Jones, who's on with me, he is an original chartered member.
If
I leave out anything, he will correct me. But in January of 1995, our previous pastor, Reverend Crosston, just convened a meeting, and I think he had a poster or something that said, "Are you working for your money, or is your money working for you?" And with that, there was an interest meeting where a lot of people took that challenge, and it ended up that two clubs formed because there were so many people. So the actual date of chartering for our particular club, Faith Investment, was, and Chris can correct me, I believe it was in June of 1996. There were 13 original partners, 16 original members, because we have joint memberships. And as was stated, one of the first investors was McDonald's, and we still have McDonald's to this day. And again, if I could, I could ask Mr. Chris Jones to elaborate, because he is, like I said, an original member from 1996, 25 years ago.
Yeah, well, thank you, Daryl. Yeah, you pretty much laid it out perfectly. You know, those details are accurate. Yeah, we did start with your partnership agreement was done in June of 1996 after that interest meeting in 95. And just like you said, we were 13 original partners, 16 individual members, because some of those partnerships were joint. And we've been at it for the last 25 years with much success.
Excellent. So when, and I really want to get to this, which is why I'm so happy to have you all on as guests. Your pastor, I mean, of all people, came into this information. I'm not sure if it was NAIC specifically at the time, but he put out a call to the church and said exactly what you just said. Are you working for your money, or is your money working for you? How did you feel as a church member hearing that call, Mr. Jones? I'm not aware of a lot of church people that invest. They tithe, they may save, but I don't think that that the awareness of investing has reached them yet. Mm-hmm. How was that information so impactful to you at that moment in time, 25 years ago, and what has helped keep you engaged?
Yeah, thank you for that. I think the key was that, first of all, East End has always been a fairly progressive church, and Pastor Crosston, he had a head for business himself when he came to us. He was a young pastor at the time, but he saw the opportunity because we were already committed to a stewardship philosophy of tithing. A number of the members were, and that was stressed at the church that we supported our ministries through the stewardship program. And so there was already a kind of a mindset in the church for making the best use of your resources. So he tapped into that and saw that there were members there who were ready to enter into this type of activity and had that interest meeting. Part of it was his own personal charisma, I will admit, but he got us all there. It was all beautifully explained. He did go through NAIC, and he used manuals that they provided. And so he did a lot of the initial legwork for us, made it easier for us to get involved. And we kind of trusted him. But, I mean, we didn't leave it to that. We all got, once the clubs formed, we got deeply involved in educating ourselves. But that's kind of how it came about.
Excellent. I'll get back to that question of stewardship in a minute, but I do want to hear from Daryl and Marvin about when and how long ago did you join the Faith Investment Club, and also tell me the name of the church and where it's located.
You want me to go?
All right. Good evening, everyone. For me, I guess it's coming up probably on about 2 years now. Think about it. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, honestly, because the years kind of go by. But actually came into the club. You heard Daryl and Chris talk about the other club that was that we still have in place today as a heritage. And I had family members that were participating in that club. So they kind of challenged myself and my wife to become a part of Faith Investors. And we did. And ironically, that turned into opportunity for me to participate as treasurer. And I came on kind of, you know, in an assisting role initially, and then that turned into, I kind of like this. This is nice. I like this. And, you know, we are very supportive of each other. The whole time that I've been in the club, I think that's what I've experienced, and hopefully trying to relay that to other members. But, you know, we're with East End Baptist Church. Hopefully you also see that with our church. But, we are East End Baptist Church in Suffolk, Virginia, and about 10 years from here, yeah.
And before you go, Mr. Darrell, I just want to ask, you know, Marvin, if you could speak a little bit more specifically to how did your family hound you, or what probably else was going on in your own personal life to say, you know what, I'm going to do this. Because I don't think it's always just somebody said to you, you know, something. It's probably also an inner decision or something else going on.
Yeah. I can say I had had the opportunity to hear other people in passing talk about stop, and you know, it's something that you're exposed to almost on a daily basis now. You know, news broadcasts have stock information and so forth. So I'm fairly familiar, but you know, with that, and then knowing that there were other family members that were starting to become more interested in it, I said, okay, maybe this is something I want to kind of, you know, take a closer look at as well, because I knew that it's something that, you know, not so much the opportunity for it to be lucrative, which, of course, you know, if you manage things, it can be. But just that I knew that there was always the mindset of, hey, you know, get up, go to work 8 to 5, and, you know, here's how most people, you know, kind of make a living and try to earn money. But when I heard also of the call that our former pastor, Dr. Crossing, had as far as, are you working for your money, or is the money working for you? And I said, okay, that's an interesting point, you know. And so it kind of made me rethink. And one thing that I try to always be mindful of is, you know, am I working harder or working smarter? And I thought this was something that would help me to work smarter in terms of my money.
Thank you for that perspective. Mr. Lewis?
I will say, to answer one of your questions, the name of our church is East End Baptist Church out of Suffolk, Virginia. Our current pastor is Reverend Wayne Faison. For me, I have been, I'm a relatively new member of about 2.5 years to the club. I've been a member of the church since 2005, and I had always heard about the club. I remember them meeting, and they always met on Sundays, and it my memory is it was always during football games, and I'm like, I'm not going to any of those meetings because that's going to cut into my football time. But I like numbers. I'm an engineer. I have a minor in economics and numbers. You know, I just like numbers. There was a couple members of our current club that over the years always mentioned the club and always invited me to come. I always said, yeah, I'd come. I never did. And I think a member that is now my wife, the pretty lady in the picture in white, she is the recording secretary, and she was a member. So, I mean, that made it easy for me to check out a meeting. And from there, I just loved it. And Chris Jones is our, we call him our, he's in charge of education. So he teaches us about stock studies, about the terms. And he put on this seminar when I was like 2 months into the club on how to do a stock study. And it just fascinated me. And I just loved it and just wanted more and more. And also want to give some accolades to Marvin. He's our financial partner, and he does a great job of keeping the books and purchasing our stocks and just keeping everything online for us. So for me, it's just keeping lazy. I guess over the years, I was content with just paying my bills, always having my bills paid, and not really thinking about investing. As I got older, and particularly with Reverend Crofton, you know, the kind of mindset that he had, and just the way that he talked about being good stewards of your money and also making your money work for you, over the years, I got the message, and I slowly just finally decided, hey, this is what I need to do.
I like that transition. I have a specific follow-up question for you, Daryl, about where you were in your mindset before you joined the club. Again, you know, you are a lot like what I think of as many Black church members, right? Consistent, go to work every day, Monday through Friday, never miss a day, pay your bills on time. Don't use other people's money like credit card debt, you know, pay off your mortgage in 30 years and plan and hope for a pension, right? Because you're going to plan to be loyal to your company and work 30, 35 years. How has your perspective, even just in the concept of retirement, how has that changed from before you joined the investment club to now? Knowing what you know now, knowing what you've been exposed to, how are you thinking differently now about yourself, your future in 20, 25 years financially?
I think for me, in the beginning, like I said, it was just about I had a decent job, my bills were paid, and there were, in the beginning, I had jobs and I bounced around because I got bored and I had 401ks and every time I would change, I would cash it out. So I kept starting over and over and over. So I had really no savings to really talk about. And as you get older and gain a little more wisdom, you realize that quickly retirement is coming and, you know, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have when you retire? And if you're doing okay and you're, have a steady job, you need to let that work for you so that you can achieve your goals. Because, you know, I think about retirement, you know, as a worker, I work hard. So when I retire, I want to play hard. So how is that going to be possible? And starts with my investing my money wisely, and so that's how I just changed my mindset. And like I said, the church that I'm a part of and the leadership were a big part of that, and even putting that out in the universe for me to receive and eventually accept.
Excellent. I have a question for, I'm trying to decide between Mr. Marvin and Mr. Jones, but I think I'm going to go with Mr. Jones just because he's a founding member. Mr. Jones, if you could take us back to 95, can you speak a little bit to what was the original image that conjured in your mind when you heard the word investing or investor? You know, could you describe that person? Was that somebody that looked like you, that didn't look like you, that did that for a living? Like, kind of take us through who was an investor to you at that time. I mean, we all know who an investor is now, but, you know, just kind of want to get your perspective, because I know for a lot of people, being an investor and investing isn't for them. They never heard of it before. I mean, since 2020, most people are doing it because, like Marvin said, so many people are now doing it. But in 95, I mean, this wasn't something that was talked about a lot. So could you talk to us a little bit about, you know, those original images you had and how you kind of came to realize that you also could be an investor, and even more than that, a long-term investor?
Thank you for that question. First of all, I had more hair in 95. Remember, I just throw that out there. But and I was a lot younger. You know, it's been 25 years. I had a good job. I was a college professor, and so I had a good pension plan in place. But when I thought, at that time, when I thought about investing, I thought mainly about risk-taking. And I saw investing as risk-taking and getting involved in the stock market as taking a risk, a great risk, and seeing the ups and downs of the stock market and that kind of thing. So I think, in addition to what has already been said, I think it was the appeal that Dr. Crossman made to us, our trust in his foresight and insight, and the fact that the thing about the whole philosophy of investing through an investment club was that it was a group activity and that you weren't doing it alone. You were doing it as a group. And so whatever risks were involved, the risk was collective. And it made it more manageable for me psychologically. We were doing $25 a month. So a lot of the risks were sort of mitigated because of the philosophy of investment clubs and how they worked. And in addition to that, and we may talk about this more, that there was a social element to all of it. We just enjoy each other's company, you know, and we have Christmas parties and cookouts and occasionally may take a trip or something like that. So that also added to the whole process, the fellowship. So that was it for me. And then once we started having success, significant success, then it's easy to be sold on it. And then once you see what success is possible by using the better investing tools and being consistent, dollar cost averaging, doing all the things that are recommended, you know, investing regularly and consistently and not trying to follow the market's ups and downs, but having a plan and investing in sound companies, and each of us having a company that we watch and we report on So it makes it that much more interesting.
Ione, if I could just tag team on that. Chris said something that about risk. I think in the beginning, I think I'm risk adverse, and I always saw investing as being risky without knowing the details. But coming into this club, we do stock studies, we do 5-year, we look at a stock 5-year history, and, you know, our motto is we're not a get-rich-fast club. It's a get-rich-slow. You know, we don't worry about what the market is doing because everything that we do is well-researched. So we know that the market goes up and it comes down. So, but we know we've done our research, we put in our work, and everything is going to work out. So that has made it easy to invest and get over that risk issue for me.
Excellent. Marvin, this is specifically for Marvin and Daryl. Could you speak a little bit to how has being in the club helped you personally, financially? What concepts or things have you gone back to your own personal finances and done differently? Is it budgeting? Is it reviewing your 401k options and maybe changing the mutual funds? Is it setting up a 529 plan for your children or grandchildren? You know, just want to hear a little bit about how this investment club experience is really, you're taking the group learning and make it a personalized individual learning.
So I definitely can say that it has been very beneficial for me. Like I said before, my mindset probably was along the lines of, okay, I have my regular job and, you know, put a little away in savings and, you know, kind of, I guess, just content with the interest that would accumulate from savings. But becoming a member of the club has really helped me to understand, understanding, hey, okay, there's a stock market and, you know, you can invest money in different stocks. But, it really, for me, has kind of transferred over into day-to-day living because, you know, when you follow the stock, you really are cognizant of what's happening with these individual companies. You know, you heard Daryl mention about the caution that we exercise in terms of what companies we might invest in. So when we follow the stock, we take our time and really, you know, research, you know, what their performance is like, you know, what do they offer, you know, what are the trends, and, you know, that has really come into play in the last couple of years as we're looking at performance with something, let's say, like with COVID being here, you know, I mean, different companies that might have been stellar before, well, when people can't go out and shop, then maybe this store isn't as productive or, you know, things of that nature. But you really become, I think, more aware of what's happening around you, what your involvement may in or lack of involvement might, what impact that might have. And for me personally, that's helpful. But then I also like to be able to share that information like with my children, because when I was their age, there was no one telling me about stock market and, you know, being mindful of those companies and how you could partake in how they're performing and benefit from that. I would have loved to have had the opportunity to do that. And that actually is the one thing that we as a club are looking to do. We did have that in place before, but we're looking to bring that back for some of our younger members to be involved, because I think just that education, you know, that awareness of what's going on around you and, you know, always a good thing to be able to reap the benefits of investing. But I think mentally, it really helps with your awareness.
And Daryl, I mean, Chris, Mr. Jones, you could speak to this too, especially since you've been in the club so long.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin, if you went ahead, I can just add that for me, it just makes me want to invest more, take care of personal finances, making sure that, you know, eliminate debt so that I have more disposable income to invest to to have that lifestyle that I want to when I retire. And yet, similar to what Marvin said, you know, I'm starting to ask, I'm paying closer attention to companies, and I'm asking different kinds of questions, you know, looking at fossil fuel versus renewable resources, you know, those kind of things, different kind of questions that I didn't care about or didn't ask before, and now it's, you know, because we own stocks and we want to continue to grow, just looking at different sectors, and so it's been very educational.
You want to comment also, Ione?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so yeah, on a personal level, and I think this is true for most of us in the club, a lot of the stocks we invest in, the companies, are those that we have individual interest in or we frequent. Take, for example, a Walmart or a Walgreens. You know, we have Apple, you know, McDonald's, any number of companies, Home Depot. A lot of them, the companies that we have hold issues of stock in, are companies that we frequent in one form or another, or that we use the services, the products, Procter & Gamble. I mean, I could name any number of them. And what that does is, what it did for me, Dollar Tree, I just thought of another real quick, that as you go into these establishments, the ones that are consumer-oriented, you think about it in terms of your investment. And you are that much more interested in how well they're doing, how are they performing, because they're a part of your daily life. You know, whether you're buying merchandise there or you're just interested in seeing how well they're doing and what the bottom line is. So you become, I think, much more conscious in terms of your budgeting and how you're using your funds. We all of us try to support the companies in which we invest. So if we're having to make a choice from one place or another, we're generally going to try to support those companies that we're investing in, because we can, you know, we believe in those companies and how they're doing. And so, yeah, so there's that. That's a piece of it. But it's also, you know, there have been instances where we've had a real interest in a company and we looked to research and we found out it was not publicly traded. So we couldn't invest. And we saw a real opportunity, we thought, but because it wasn't publicly traded, we couldn't invest in it. So it's very enlightening in that respect, and I think it helps to round out the edges as you do your own personal planning within your family. And can't lose sight of the stewardship piece. I know you said you were going to come back to that, but
Yeah, let's talk about that now,
okay,
about the stewardship piece and how that really influences your perspective on investing, and talk to a little bit about what stewardship is to the Faith Investing Club.
Yeah. Daryl, you want me to go first on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's important to us because we view good stewardship as making a good use of your resources, a responsible use of your resources in a way that helps build the kingdom and advance the kingdom of God. So it is this kind of a selfless way of functioning. So you always, in terms of what you've been afforded, because our belief is that none of it is ours anyway, that it was all given to us to use, you know, while we walk this earth. So if our first approach is to consider how we're going to support God in the advancing of his kingdom on earth. And how do we best do that? And so we look at what resources we have, and before we make any decisions, we think about it in that way and always put him first. And we found that we've been very successful in taking that approach as we invest. I don't know if any of you guys want to jump in on that.
No, I think you spoke very well on that. I mean, that is exactly it. And, you know, we also try to give back. We always give a donation either to the church or some organization as a part of that stewardship.
And are you doing that from the interest and capital gains of, you know, the money that you've grown? Talk to us a little bit about that. Because I think that would shed light on how some other investment clubs may also want to operate, you know, hearing how you contribute and give back financially to other nonprofits and churches that you're part of.
Probably speak to that.
Yeah.
Oh. It looks like he's in transition.
I don't really think, and Chris can correct me, I'm newer to the club. I don't know if there's a set percentage or amount, but we try, you know, every year to we do back to the church, and we've talked about, giving back to other organizations. We're in the process of trying to start a youth investment club. And, you know, maybe our contribution that we make, we pour it into five stocks to start them off. So, you know, four different ways to give back.
Well, Marvin, go ahead.
I'll just tag real quickly onto what he's saying, is that, there's a passage in the book of Matthew, I believe it's in chapter 25, you know, it's that sort of the foundation for our thinking about stewardship, that what you're given, you want to try to multiply. And that's an investment concept right there. So stewardship in and of itself, in other words, the resources that we've been afforded, we don't believe we're just supposed to sit on them. So you want to get the best return you can on the resources you've been afforded. And in turn, the way that the church is benefiting on an individual level, each member, is that it makes us, if we are tithers, we're contributing that much more to the ministries of the church, because we're using funds that we hold in a way that we're getting the best return we can on what we have. So it just works out that way. And then when we give individually, and if we tithe, most of us are tithers, if we tithe individually, then we're seeing the benefits of that. We're seeing the fruits of that in the way the church grows. And then, of course, we're rewarded individually as well.
Marvin, can you speak a little bit to, since you've been in the club 10 years, what's the, just in a sense of the technical process of how you decide to donate or contribute money to the church? Is it coming from the contributions that the club is making, or is it coming from some of the growth or interest or capital gains? Just kind of want to hear your perspective from a treasurer perspective of how do you contribute to charitable organizations from the investment club.
So I would say in terms of the kind of the mindset, just how we determine what it is that we like to do. One of the things I can say that is beneficial in being a member of Faith Investment, we're always mindful of our faith, and we know that there are different needs that might come about for the church, but, you know, we do pray on it, and we do meet as a club and discuss it. And I think everything, that's one of the things I think that's one of our strengths. We do stay in contact with each other, and before we make any kind of move or, you know, contribution, anything like that, we do consult with each other and we get a consensus. We kind of operate along with like Robert's Rules of Order. So we make sure that we have enough members present to be able to have a majority there. And then we also vote on what initiatives that we feel are important. And any of the members can, present what they feel might be a meaningful, contribution. We do like to be supportive of the church. It's interesting when we moved to our new campus, I think several of the ministries may have had the same mindset, but as for Faith Investors, we, knew that we were getting things established and that we could support the church in that way. So we felt it, important and in our hearts to contribute to the church, because we knew that we would be able to, it's about helping others and helping the church, but then in turn that allowed us to help the community. And we knew that and really continue to believe, our church, Easton, is a pillar in the community. And we wanted to continue to be that way, and we wanted to continue to grow. And we felt it important that we did our part to support us. So Daryl mentioned earlier about, the contributions that our members give on a regular basis. And the same way we have that careful mindset with our dollar cost averaging with the stock, we also are mindful of our balances with our accounts between our bank account and also with our broker. And, we try to make sure that with the contributions that are made, we're mindful of what we have in the bank, what we are looking to use to make any purchases or stops. But if we have something that we know we might want to make a contribution in, or sometimes members might need to make a withdrawal or what have you, then, we just, again, as a club, come together, make a decision. We're prayerful of it, and I think that's really been a strength that we have to help us be able to be successful as we have been.
Excellent. Thank you. This question, is for everyone, but more specifically for Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, can you speak to how pivotal the D.C. regional chapter of Better Investing has been for the educational growth of your club? D.C. regional chapter is, I think they have some of the best educational events. That's how I met you all a few months ago at the club anniversary celebration event. So just talk to us a little bit about how you as a club are engaging with and participating with your local chapter to help educate all of your club members as you've been, investing successfully for 25 years.
Well, I'll speak briefly, but I think Daryl is going to be the best one to answer this question because of his leadership. We reconnected with the D.C. chapter, and that came about as a consequence of our 25th anniversary. And I think I might have suggested to Daryl to look into making contact with them to see if there was a recognition that they offered. And lo and behold, they did. But I would just say that, at one time, there was a Hampton Roads chapter in Virginia. I don't know how familiar you are with the geography of Virginia. If you're familiar with Hampton Roads, that includes seven cities. I won't
Newport News, Hampton.
Oh, you got it right. Virginia Beach, Suffolk. And so the Hampton Roads chapter, last time I looked, they went out of existence. Am I wrong about that? I mean, they stopped functioning. We were looking to them, and they used to send speakers to the church to speak to both clubs. They held educational activities in our church for both clubs. We had members of both clubs to attend some of their chapter activities that were being held in the area. But when they ceased to function as a chapter, then DC became the next closest chapter to look to. And so it has been a while, but thanks to the leadership of our illustrious presiding partner, Daryl, we're back engaged with them. Daryl, you probably want to say something about that.
Well, I'll just say I appreciate the magazine that I get every month. Part of the membership has great information on stocks and stocks to look at. And they also offer a lot of, like I call them, webinar trainings monthly that you can tune into to get more information. And just the tools. The tools that, for example, when we do our stock study, I hear that there's an automated way of doing it. I am a pen and paper kind of person, crunch the numbers kind of thing, but they offer tools like that to help you with that. So ever since I connected with them a few months ago, very kind, very, very helpful, very willing to assist, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Ms. Fan? Well, you know, Iona, this brings back many memories going back to the 90s. Chris and Daryl and Marvin were talking before the program started. And for those of you who may remember the colored pencils we were using back in the day, now I'm dating myself, and yes, colored pencils and the little ruler. And so it has been phenomenal.
Don't forget the calculator.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Well, I only had my calculator, so I don't remember. I had to color the lines. I think we switched roles, Ione and I, during those years. But I do want to just remind everybody that you're listening to hashtag My Investing Story, and we have really been blessed, literally blessed this evening as we're talking with Faith Investment Club participants. And every week we come on and share about the Better Investing Annual Meeting and the Financial Empowerment Seminar. We do want to let you know that because of COVID, of course, it has now been moved to 2023, both. So stay tuned. We will let you know the details for that in 2022. But for right now, for those of us that were planning to go to Dallas, and I know I've been saying it every week, please register, please register. And for those of you that have registered to join us, we will be sending something out. And Chris and Daryl and Marvin, we're going to connect with you offline because we do have a program that we, and Iona can talk to you about this, that we do work with the youth. And so we'll talk about that. But for those of you who are interested, please continue to connect with Better Investing in your local area. We remind you always that Better Investing has a free 90-day free membership on the website, and you can register for that 90-day free membership. But consider starting a club. And I would like to just make a couple of notes, mention some things that I jotted down while all of you were talking, because I think that listening every week at each individual story and what all of you have that's phenomenal is that not only do you have an investment club, but it is faith-based in your church. And Ione mentioned this in the very beginning, that brings a very different dynamic to the whole idea and the philosophy of investing. And when we, those of us that were a part of our initial club, we actually also came out of a church. And it was called New Birth Baptist Church in Miami with the leadership of a Pastor Tyrone Curry, Victor Tyrone Curry. And so when we started, similarly, like you, we actually started with Ellis Traub and a number of volunteers from the South Florida chapter that came in and helped us form many, many, many different investment clubs, but just educating us. And so as I'm sitting here listening to all of you talk about, you know, where you started, we had a short conversation before the program started. When you think about where you are now, this is what we talked about before the program started. Oftentimes, we forget about where we were then. So my question for each of you, if you would please share, we're talking about where you are now. But financially, would each of you be willing to share? Ione asked about the mindset. Where were you back then, if you will? Because, again, and I talked about volunteers and better investing. For those volunteers that are listening, you know, we're always talking about the stock tools, you know, the SSG, and all of these things that we're so familiar with. But what about Bobo, my cousin Bobo, my Uncle Carl, my brother, my sister, that don't know the difference between saving and investing? That's where I was. I can't speak for anybody else. I know that's where I was. With college degrees and with the business, that's where I was, did not know the difference between saving and investing. And that's a large part of the reason why this program called Hashtag My Investing Story was started, because I share with volunteers that have been investing for a very long time. You know, dollar cost averaging, we put away a little bit of money over a long period of time, and some of us may be okay right now, but what about then? Where were we? So if each of you could just share, if you don't mind, when you first started, where were you then?
I'll jump in first. A little bit of what I said earlier about how, you know, I had a good job and was managing to, you know, pay my bills. And we were saving some, but not as much as we would have liked. But mainly it was managing from month to month. And we weren't really making our money work for us. You know, we were making sure that we maintain a certain standard of living, and our jobs helped us with that. And, our faith and our belief in stewardship and how that should work was in place. So that made it easier to delve into investing as a process and to do it with consistency. And I already talked about why I shied away from it initially because of the risk I felt that was involved. And so I won't repeat everything I said before, but obviously over time, because we made the leap and we did get involved, where we are now and where I am now, and my wife with me, is that we're fairly comfortable. We have multiple funds, resources for retirement. I just retired, by the way, this year back in June.
Congratulations.
And so, thank you. The my share of our club and my value, my market value, my value as a member of the club is significant. You might imagine after 25 years, but that's there. But that coupled with my retirement account, and I just recently took a significant amount of money from my retirement and put it into an IRA. So I've learned about how to manage my funds more effectively and more efficiently, in part because of what I've gained from being in the club.
Thank you. Thank you. Daryl? You might be on mute.
All right. I'm sorry. For me, again, in the beginning, I had a job. I was content with paying my bills, throwing some money in a little checking savings account, thinking I was doing something, and you don't make any money in a little checking and savings account at all. Throwing money in a little CD every now and again, still don't make any money. And just, you know, as Chris just commented, having, you know, personal knowledge of seeing how well people that were in this investment club at this church was doing, it's like, wow. So that opened my eyes, and just wanting that for myself and knowing that investing is a better way to get to the goal that I have set. And knowing that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. Requires patience. And like I said, coming into this club, knowing how our philosophy and what we do and just our research and being able to sleep at night, you know, it doesn't matter if the market crashes or whatever, knowing that everything's going to be all right because of what we did and how we go about things. So just realizing you're not going to make any money. If you have certain goals for your future, you're not going to make any money putting money in up. Putting money, that's like putting money under your mattress, right? You're getting old days. You're not going to make any money doing that. So you need to come up with a better way. Nothing is that way.
Like grandma used to do, right? Thank you. Thank you. So Marvin, I see you just came off mute. If you want to share, please. And maybe
yes.
I might have been the only person struggling back in the day.
No, you weren't. I haven't been in the club as long as Chris, but I can say definitely I can understand because, you know, me coming in, like I said, it's been about maybe about 10 years or so that I've been in the club. And just coming in, it just had one, well, I had both my children, but one was just a baby. And that was an opportunity for me. My mindset was different at that point anyway because of having children, but being mindful of them. And then I kind of tag along with what Daryl was mentioning about learning more from those who were involved in the club and how, you know, you could see, all right, they made these investments over time. And I've never had the mindset of, you know, the get rich quick scheme. But seeing an opportunity for investing your money, watching it work, and actually seeing it be fruitful, and you know, okay, this is really working, and this is leading towards a lucrative future, and that was really a major goal of mine, and continues to be for you know, making sure that I can set up a good foundation, you know, for my kids. And I wanted to definitely, like I mentioned earlier, getting them, you know, teaching them different things that I'm learning. And that one of the reasons I'm excited that we'll be looking at reestablishing a youth investment club because it's something that really, and I think Ayanna touched on this, just adults in general, really, not a lot of us to take part in that, but definitely as far as the children, I think it's an invaluable skill that we need to really pass on to them because it not only can help you financially, but I think we covered that it can definitely help you, you know, just in terms of your environment and understanding what's going on around you. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, I see all these businesses around me in the community, but what are they doing? What does that mean? And, you know, how do they connect to me, you know, on a day-to-day basis. That's one of the things I really appreciate out of the club as well. You know, definitely the financial piece, but also just being able to have that mindset of I'm aware of what's going on in the world around me. You know, as different current events come up, you know, when we do meet, we incorporate discussion on, you know, what moves we are looking to make in terms of investing or selling stock. And a lot of those decisions are based on what's going on in the world around us. So to me, that adds to the reality of it. You know, you always want to try to plan for a bigger, brighter future. But I think it's important to be aware of what's happening around you right now.
Well, thank you. Thank you, all of you. And you actually touched on something. We're going to prepare to wrap up. But you touched on something, Marvin, that I have to mention, and that is I talked earlier about an investment club. Our investment club came actually out of a mastermind group that we started with 10 women in Miami back in the 90s, and we started a mastermind group, and then from that we started the investment club. But in the mastermind group, what we found was that we needed to have like minds and like spirits. It was a criteria. We needed to have like minds and like spirits. Now, I'm just going to talk about my church. I'm not talking about anybody else. This is just me. Everybody in church is not like-minded and like-spirited. You find some people who are like-minded, but the spirit, no. You find some people that are like-spirited, but the mindset, no. And so what you just touched on reminds me of the fact that in order to have a good, long-lasting investment club, you also need to have as a criteria individuals who are like-minded and like-spirited. And especially coming through a church, you're already almost betting 100 to have options in terms of a connecting of the spirit. So we want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. It has been, I have 2 pages of notes here that I didn't get to. So, you know, we're going to possibly have to have each of you come back individually. But I think that we should also look at picking up a conversation about the youth. I don't need to say that we do have youth. Ione is an excellent example of the fact that they do grow up. They grow up and they become lifelong investors. And I'd like to challenge each of us that's listening. And we did hear you, Dan Harder, in the chat when you said, You don't miss paper and pencil, and I don't think you by yourself. None of us miss paper and pencil, probably other than Ione. I think she's probably the only one that liked that paper and pencil exercise, doing it by hand. But we would like to encourage all of us to think about actually having a conversation about in our chapter, youth investing. And also on a national level, we'll take that to Ione since she's at board meetings right now, national board, and we want to give her kudos and a lot of respect for being on our national board. But each one of us as volunteers and each of us as investors, we also have to think about the fact that a conversation we seldom have is that one day we will not wake up. And as hard as we've worked in these clubs, what investment are we making in our family members that we're going to leave this money to? And so one way to ensure your legacy is to bring them along with you as you learn and as you study as a lifelong investor. So I'd like to leave all of you with that thought. And we're going to wrap up by saying thank you, Chris, Jones, Daryl, Lewis, and Marvin, thank you. And we know you are at church working. So so thank you, everybody. And Ione, always thank you so very much for being so such a gracious co-host. But I'm not sure if you were coming off mute to say something.
Just to say thank you. It was a pleasure to finally have the Faith Investors Club on. I know Daryl and I went back a lot of back and forth there. We don't have to go back and forth anymore. It's done. But yeah, no, just so happy to have an investment club that came out of the church on, because so many of us, especially as Blacks, African Americans, we're in one, but we're not in the other. So I think that the perspective and the experience that you shared really is going to connect with and hit home to a lot of people, a lot of us that want to do it but don't know anyone else that has done it and definitely haven't seen it before. So thank you so much for saying yes. Thank you so much for bringing on some of your club members. And it was such a pleasure to have both the founders' experience share tonight and the new member, 10 and 2 year experience share tonight. So thank you all.
Thank you so much. This has been a great experience. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. All right, everybody, we're going to say welcome again for those of you that just joined us. And like Ayona said, we've been talking to the hashtag about hashtag My Investing Story, Faith Investment Club tonight. And we're going to ask all of you, please, if you're on social media, please remember to comment, like, and share the show. Comment, like, and share the show. And we'll see all of you back here next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on your favorite social media. All right. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle, and all our volunteers, Doretha, Michelle, and Marcel. Thank you, too, because this show would not be possible without the volunteers. All right, everybody. Thanks. Good night.
Goodbye.